They call him Punt, the Wild Foul Guy. They call him Rock the Riders. They call him the Wild Foul Guy. They call him Rock the Riders. They call him the Wild Foul Guy. They call him Welcome to Rodus Live. I'm your host, Rodus. The name of this episode is The First Time. The first time of many things that I've experienced throughout my lifetime. I may have to chop this up into maybe like 3 episodes or probably make it a series. I'll see what I could come up with for y'all today. But Black Thought and Danger Mouse's The Rodus Live was popping artists of the day, y'all. Let's get it.
Drop down at their knees and make doer. Popsicle sticks race down the curb into the sewer. The next American hangman, sketch the crayon. Gangland, all the facade that you can spray on. Killing birds with one stone is what we stay on. Wingspan never too wide for you to play on. The ways never cease to amaze or inspire. Illiterate, the signature's been forged to fire. Broken spirit, some assembly required. It confirmed the door of no return at Elmira. Screaming into the ocean for emotional support. We never won awards, we was wards of the court. Putting s'mores to umbilical cords to cut them short. Translation, vacation is in the last resort. From the deli, knock them out the box with spinning tops and skelly. Do it, you'll get to it with Mr. Womack would tell me. I was locked by Sully Red Nigga Lomac of Belly. Disinheritance was negative. Beverage is the devil's piss, state's evidence. Give us anything instead of this drama. In the mirror light, Yayoi Kusama had me turning to Muhammad, to Buddha, the Dalai Lama. If I was snatching shoulder bag from somebody, mama, am I cancerous? Can't discuss what the short answer was. Hungry as ones, take the money and run. Sometimes simultaneously taking one of your lungs. What I mean is I've seen everything that's under the sun. Niggas below the poverty line live under the gun. We all scheming, savages ain't vegan. What the fuck is love? Don't need a reason to die. Not just because.
In my alley, I could hardly get my feet up. Had to hit the staircase just to roll the reefer. Now I'm smoking big cohibas out in Costa Rica like Puerto Vida. Having flashbacks, niggas getting clapped at in front of the cleaners on 34th Street. And to this day, it haunts me. It's why I had to move raunchy. I know killers in Marcy, so please don't taunt me. I spent some summer times in Canarsie. Me and Quan getting stopped to fish by Hutchie Starsky. They was looking for hard drugs in Armory. Mama told me not to let that shit bother me. Papa said to move cautiously, so the streets will never bother me. But you don't know that part of me.
My skin gets red too easy. She don't wanna change her name like Washington. Wonders where I got it from. My parents' marriage was a toxic one. Oh well, I'm about to cop a gun. Hope I got to use it. It'll help blow up the music. I know something slightly off of me. Drama is therapeutic. Ego hates feeling futile. Sometimes I move without scruples, like having Mrs. Perfect with me and still chasing approval from other women. I'm a glutton, I can't run from who I become. Dad's around the corner, haven't seen him in like 3 months. We don't speak much, I don't handle balance well. Got a fragile shell, my money split the king and queen up, then the castle fell. The tension in the air is still crisp. Sometimes I wish this game was over like I'm Lil Flip. Sometimes I'm wishing that my brain came with a kill switch. I don't vacation, dog, I guilt trip. Bitch. Yeah.
California highway patrolman. Launch codes were stolen and sold by Ed Snowden. I fled to Rome and told him address me as a Roman. I'm still in photos posing with my own omen. A thumping kicker for me to slam like Hulk Hogan. It's something like a plain bumper sticker, no slogan. This something for the shooters and back and forth commuters who never knew the difference in laws and jurisprudence. I feel as though it's safe to assume that to the students and non-congruent to the way that me and Doom do this. You checking the top two of a thousand intelligent chaps with rap projects and housing developments. Cool to cross-legged on a crate like it's elegant. Try to hate, I'm puffing up your face like a pelican. Highly enveloped and activating my melanin. Y'all failing to see what's shaking besides gelatin. News bulletin, I refuse to take the medicine. Fuck a thick skin, I got me an exoskeleton. The black collar feral and a lobster. Deliver like an obstetrician but not a doctor. Bring the Cambridge, the Websters, the Oxfords. The picture too long to watch, see the synopsis. Compensated for playing nice, it's optics. Product of the last poets in the watch profits. I stop it, it's beyond out of pocket. Dunzo, I hit the gun show and got a rocket. Catastrophic, supreme microphones. In Mexico, we the legendary Dos Cajones. Brothers, both components, utter close to colas. Court holders, with bars as hard as Angolas.
Get rude with the dude off chips. The mood switch, he chewed off strips of a brood witch. Danger make a groove off a glitch. Major boo booty twitch and the crew rich, bitch. Always wanted to say that. Ever since the days in hallways taunting a stray cat. The one he often frequently slapped around. All the while waited then graduated cap and gown. Hated the rap sound, debated the crap until he felt he had it mapped down. Enough to have the game trapped and bound. Scratching the crown with the names of lames who yapped the noun. Or verb for that matter, had no data for a herb who chat chatter. Oh, Eric Estrada, fat rat, the mask made him batty as a Mad Hatter. Known for his absurd word choices, and will ignore you if you ask him if he heard voices. Look, the energy is crazy. Far as he was concerned, the enemy was lazy. Your attention please, freeze. He came to seize the free cheese before he flees to Belize. In case you forgot to mention, squeeze these. Just keep it on a need to know basis. They knew he was a Negro, so no need to show faces. Back in the days of no laces, on a slow pace, they used to say he might could go places. Man, whatever the cases, the card he played was ace of spades, but no racist. A spastic, some call loony. When he split a tune, sarcastic as Paul Mooney.
Black Thought and Danger Mouse with Because and Belize. Both of those songs can be found on all streaming platforms. It's time for another segment of What's Poppin', y'all. Experiencing freedom. That's what's poppin'. Owning your first whip. That's what's poppin'. Your first job. That's what's poppin'. Getting your dick wet. That's what's poppin'. Heartbreak. That's what's poppin'. College life. That's what's poppin'. Going to another country, that's what's poppin'. Dear John Letters, that's what's poppin'. Recording your first song, that's what's poppin'. Holding your first child, that's what's poppin'. If you would like to support the Riders Live podcast, we have merchandise in the Riders Live podcast merch store and our link tree, which is linktr.ee/RODES. Option one, we have the Riders Live podcast merch store. Option two, we have the White Lines book by Riders Hunt. Option three, we have the RidersOnline.net website. We have all our social media links available in the Linktree as well. So hit up Linktree/RODES. Thank you. So everybody, I finally made up my mind. There's so much to discuss that I'm going to do a three-part series of this the first time. So this is the good. So out of all three of them, it'll be the good, the bad, and the ugly. But this will be the good because it's kind of like my innocence and, you know, some of the first things that you experience from transitions as a kid up into young adulthood to adulthood. So I'm going to share some of these memorable experiences with y'all for the first time. All right. So my first kiss, I usually don't kiss and tell, but since it was the first kiss, it wasn't really nothing special, but it was my first kiss. The girl, her name was Rochelle. We wasn't even old enough to even know what we was doing, but a girl named Rochelle, I experienced my first kiss with her. It's nothing spectacular about it. You know, I just kissed a girl. But that's something that I experienced for the first time. You know, it's something like more of my first experiences are going to be a little more interesting. So my first kiss was with a girl named Rochelle. Now, my first job was a hustler. Not in a drug dealing sense or capacity, none like that. You know, I used to have to do chores around the crib like everybody else. So I used my skills that I obtained at home to work for myself. You know, I was a little entrepreneur. I hustled up pop bottles. Back in the day, you could get a dime for a pop bottle, you know, to get them recycled. So I hustled pop bottles. I shoveled snow because that was one of my chores around the house during the wintertime in Chicago. Shout out to the blizzard of 79 and blizzard of 76, allowing a young man to get his weight up and be able to keep a few coins in his pocket before he was 16 to get a real job. But I actually got a job before I was 16, so I don't want to rush ahead of myself. Raking leaves. I rake leaves and I got the lawnmower out the garage and I mowed yards to get that bread, get to the bag. And I also swept up in a barbershop. That was my official job. So my entrepreneurial job was collecting pop bottles for the first time, shoveling snow and raking leaves. Sweeping up in a barbershop, that was my job. You know, I was in second grade. I sweep up, empty the garbage, get a haircut every week for free. The money that I was getting from my mom and my dad, I just pocket that. Because the barbershop was literally right across the street. You know, I could walk out my back door, bust a left at the alley, and Durham's barbershop was right there. Shout out to the late Champ and Ernie. Durham's barbershop, they went on later to have Durham's hair products. You know, I guess you could say that they kind of invented the Jerry curl. Yeah. So shout out to them for giving me a job sweeping up. And to be honest with you, I think that's how I got into barbering. You know what I'm saying? I'm a licensed barber. So the first job that I actually had, which required me to have a W-2, was a telemarketer. I used to work for this place called Chauffeurs Training School. And what I did was I called potential people who was interested in being a truck driver. And I was getting people to come in left and right. Boom, 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 boom. Shout out to my homie Essica Shannon, my neighbor. She the one who hooked me up with a job at Chauffeurs Training School. You know, we went to high school together. She was my homie. So by her hooking me up with that job and we was homies and everything, let's talk about my first car, my first whip, the 1980 Granada. So I had a white 1980 Granada with burgundy interior with the snatch out radio. The evolution of the radio has come a long way. But yeah, I had that white 1980 two-door Granada. And I used to get my homie Essica rides to work, rides home, rides to school. Yeah, that was my first car. I paid $100 for it. The only thing that was wrong with the car was I had to get a new carburetor because I'd be driving that boy and you could smell the gas. So, yeah, I had to get a carburetor for the car. But I love that Granada because I wasn't walking to school. I wasn't on a bus to school. And even before I had my own car, you know, I mustered up the courage to ask girls to go out. My mom, she had a 1983 Eldorado. She used to let me push it sometimes. Shout out to my mama. I love you, Ma, for letting me push the caddy. But I love you even more for getting that Granada for me. Yeah, well, giving me a lead on the Granada. So next, I want to talk about my first heartbreak. So, you know, when you're a kid or when you're a youngster, you know, you're in puppy love. You think you're in love and all of that. So, you know, I was going away to college. Everybody was telling me to break up with my girlfriend. I ain't going to say her name, but shout out to her. You know, I didn't break up with her, but, you know, while I was away at school, you know, it wasn't no cell phones. It was just pay phones at the dorm. You couldn't text. It wasn't no FaceTime or nothing. So that's hard on a young man and a young lady. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, she was playing me, but, you know, I was playing myself at the same time. And I'm going to let y'all know. So, You know, I went away to school and I was telling everybody at school that I got a girlfriend. And, you know, at my school, it was like 15-1 ratio from girls to guys. And I was down there telling girls that I have a girlfriend and I'm in love. Boy, I felt like a fool. But it's all good. I was hurt because, you know, I love my little girlfriend, or at least I thought I did. But I ain't mad at her, you know what I'm saying? We was just young, but we cool now. So that was my first heartbreak. Now I want to talk about my first experience at Jackson State University. So I didn't go to a state school. I'm from Chicago. I went to Jackson State because that's the first college that I applied to. Not saying that I couldn't get in any other schools, but I had a mentor by the name of Barney McWhorter. He was an alpha, and he got me in Jackson State. He wrote me an endorsement letter and everything. Yeah. So he gave a letter of recommendation for me. I got good ACT scores, but my grades, I had all C's, straight C's. C in art, C in gym, C in English, C in math. I didn't care. And that's what the universities thought when they saw all those C's on my transcripts. So, you know, I needed somebody to vouch for me and help me get in there. So I went there. I was on the dean's list multiple times. But my first time there, you know, I was a freshman. I took the bus down there. My parents, they didn't drive me to school and set me up. I had to be a responsible young adult for myself. But one thing that I can remember, besides all the partying, besides all the girls, the first time me setting foot on campus was going in Dixon Hall in the dorms up to the 7th floor in the elevator, and it looked like the Icky Projects in Chicago. And not to mention, it was gang signs all on the elevator. And my first thought was like, damn, I left home to get away from this shit. What the fuck am I doing here? Like, did I make the right decision coming here? But I knew I made the right decision. But one thing about seeing the gang signs and stuff in a dorm, it let me know what type of climate was there. Like, it was people that to get an education, but it was all the other shit that you wouldn't expect on a university campus as well. Like petty hustlers, shysters, drug dealers, scammers, like everything that you can experience today. It was on a university campus, and I'm just keeping it a whole buck. Like, if you listen to this podcast, you could go back and check out the Hey Rah Rahs. I don't know if I mentioned it on a Hey Rah Rah or I just mentioned it, but I'm going to make sure that I do another episode about it. But my roommate, he stole $100 from me. He was older than me. He was like maybe 24. I was 17. He had bloodshot red eyes. You know, I watched them stomp and beat people out. He was just all kinds of trouble, you know what I'm saying? So since this episode ain't about that, that's my first experience at Jackson State was seeing the gang signs and everything. But I like that. I wouldn't change my experience for the world. Go Swag. Now, the next experience I want to talk about is being on a ship. I'm not talking about being on a cruise ship where you can eat all you want to, all inclusive, with your girlfriend, with your wife, experiencing good music, experiencing, you know, all the luxuries. This wasn't no love boat type shit. So when I was in the Marines, being on a ship, it was almost like being in a jail. Like, our berthing area probably had like 12 people in one berthing area. So it's a room, and it's three bunks stacked on top of each other. So they adjacent. So that's six. That's six right there. Then you move forward maybe like 3 feet. Then it's six more bunks adjacent. And then that space is maybe like 2 feet in between, maybe 4 feet all the way across. And you got to share this small space with other people. Now, you could leave up out of there and, you know, go to like the little lobby where everybody playing cards and all of that. You know, it's cool. So I was on a destroyer, and, you know, crossing the Atlantic is a motherfucker, because all the ship do is rock back and forth, sometimes at a 45-degree angle, sometimes maybe at a fucking 67-degree angle. You got to be in your bunk, and then sometimes the plumbing and shit don't work right on the ship. Fucking turds sliding down the fucking berthing area, down the hallway, all type of shit going on. Nasty motherfuckers. Like, you got nasty people everywhere. Like, somebody in your berthing area might not want to take a shower or might not want to wash their ass, and they could be a higher rank than you. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, clean is clean. You got to wash your ass. So being on a ship for the first time, it was really a big difference, because you'll be out to sea maybe like 30, 40 days at a time before you get to land, see a girl, eat some food that's not on a ship. You know, even like some of your personal items, like you got your basic necessities. You could go buy snacks and everything, but you can only get what's available there. You know, they have some good stuff on there, but sometimes they'll run out. But, you know, you can't get a bottle of Hennessy sent to you. Like the choice of music. You know, we couldn't download music back then. Whatever CDs they got in the store or tapes, whatever they had, that's what you had to choose from. But I ain't gonna even front. I bought some good CDs from the ship. AZ Do or Die, Tupac, All Eyes on Me. What else did I get off that boat? Old Dirty Bastard, you know, so it got its pros and cons, but the thing is, I didn't have a choice to be on that, you know. That was my duty station, that's where I was, and that's what it was. So the next thing I want to talk about is going to a foreign country. So the first foreign country that I ever been to and actually experienced the culture and everything is Marseille, France. I had a smash sandwich. The females, they were so fine and thick. It looked like It looked like they smuggled some cornbread over to that motherfucker. They were so thick and fine. And everywhere you go, every country you go to, they love the brothers. They love the brothers. It's like you're fucking like them seeing Sasquatch for the first time. But you know, suited and booted, clean cut. You know, with your clothes, however you represent yourself by style and all that shit, they like, damn, where these motherfuckers come from? You know, and most of the guys overseas, like in Europe and shit, they rude to the women because it's more women than it is guys. You know what I'm saying? So the first country that I went to overseas and really had a good time was Marseille, France. They had good food, like the smash sandwiches, everything. Just everything was good. The whole culture. People walking around in the park. They had their little crime and shit. But, you know, it's nothing like here in the United States. But for the most part, me going overseas, that actually gave me the traveling bug. And I was hooked. So, another thing, and this actually happened overseas when I was dabbling in rap, fucking with it and shit. I was in Marseille, France. They actually had a open mic. And I grabbed the mic. I got on that motherfucker and the rest was history. You know, I hadn't even had a recording now, but I was just dabbling in rap writing and fucking with it, developing my style, listening to the greats, honing my craft and shit. You know, I don't know what made me get up there, but shit, I just did it. I just felt it like it was my destiny or some shit. Boy, I killed that shit. And the only thing that I do regret is that the people was asking for more. And I didn't have nothing to give them, you know, but all of the shit that I had written and I memorized, I was kicking that shit. I was up there for maybe about 10 or 15 minutes killing it. But shout out to Marseille, France. So the last thing that I want to mention for the first time is seeing my kids. I got 4 kids. My oldest daughter, Treaty, shout out to Treaty. I love you so much, Tree. You know, the first kid, your first child, you love all your kids the same, but, you know, they with you when you going through your imperfections. They with you when you learning your way. They with you when you fucking up. They with you when you in a studio learning around. They with you. You know, supporting them. Y'all there for each other. So, the first time seeing my daughter, I was like, damn, she's so beautiful. Like, man, I made her. And then, like, even my son, the first time seeing my son, I was like, look at this little nigga. You know, shout out to Josh. You know, He looked just like me. It ain't no denying it. And, you know, he had a lot of my mannerisms. He my son, you know. Then my daughter, Treasure, she reminds me of my dad's mom. They look just alike, same mannerism, same ambition. They the same sign, you know. If I didn't know no better, I swear she was my grandmother reincarnated and shit. It's that fucking scary, you know? And then my youngest daughter, Shauna, she, when she got here, the first time I seen her, I was like, oh, shit, she looked like somebody know and somebody I know. And she a spin image of my sister Steph. Like, they could be twins and shit. They look just alike. And I was like, damn, she looked just like my sister. And initially, she was on some spoiled crybaby shit. But I talked to her, and I let her know, like, yo, you the youngest and everything, but you got to fit into the world. The world don't have to adjust to you, you know. And it's important that you always guide your kids to set them up to be in the best position possible, to grow up to be responsible adults, to grow up and be productive members of society. That's our job as parents, men and women alike. So I hope y'all enjoy my first times. So I'm going to just do a recap. I did my first job, my first kiss. My first kiss was with Rochelle. My first job was hustling, sweeping up at the shop and telemarketer. My first whip was the 1980 bone white Granada with the burgundy interior that I copped for $100. My first heartbreak, I won't tell who it was from, but shout out to her because we still cool to this day. My first experience was at Jackson State. You know what I'm saying? Seeing the gang signs and all the good stuff. They gave me an education. You know, the first ship, first time being on a ship, was the USS Woodby Island. It was a destroyer. The first country that I've been to was Marseille, France. I rocked my first show at Marseille, France, and I talked about my first experience and my first time seeing my kids, Treaty, Josh, Treasure, and Shauna Bonner. So I hope y'all enjoyed this episode of Riders Live. Peace.